translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus, he would come to constantly contemplate him, purport. Maharaj Parikshit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord, even in the womb of his mother. And thus, his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Chal Parikshit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was that same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother. But even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit, and the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by his divine grace. Maharaj Prahlad also advised that such impression of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood. Otherwise, one may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. Translation again. So his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus, he would come to constantly contemplate him. Om Agyanita Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Tam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Nina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadante Kam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopisha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorange, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Suti Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpartarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha, Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is such a wonderful verse in purport because Prabhupada is injecting his own personal experience. Here, Parikshit, he's being called the examiner because he had that impression of Krishna while in the womb. And when he came out of the womb, he's examining, where is that personality? Where is that Krishna? Where is that all-attractive Lord? And so in this way, Prabhupada is saying here in the purport how, because he was always looking like this, he was always thinking of Krishna because of those first early on impressions. He was in constant remembrance of Krishna by smaranam, remembrance. So there's several points I'm going to bring out in this verse. One is this importance of these first impressions of early childhood. Here, Pariksit Maharaj is before birth, he had that impression of Krishna. But I want to talk a little bit about those impressions of a devotee's life in early childhood and what it means in terms of the potential for actually becoming a great devotee in later life. Jiva Goswami, here in the Purport Prabhupada, says Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit. Now, that's a powerful statement, if you think about it. Every child, if you're given that opportunity, because what it does, it places the onus on the parents. Are you going to give that child that impression of Krishna in the early childhood? And we see, practically speaking, there are many wonderful grihastha householders in the Hare Krishna movement who have raised their children in a standard Krishna conscious setting and atmosphere. Yet we see once they reach actually puberty or say 16 to 18 years old, they actually have to make a conscious choice. Are they going to be a devotee or are they going to be a semi-devotee, or what are they actually going to do? But here, Jiva Goswami is saying, and Prabhupada is, when he's giving these purports, he's researching, you know, the commentary of the different Goswamis. So here he's saying that if the parents are actually giving this impression, then there's every possibility that the children will actually become Krishna conscious. So this is the point. This is one point I want to touch on. Is the importance and the responsibility of a householder having children in Krishna consciousness. Now, there's that verse in the Bhagavatam, Guru Nasashat, Swajana Nasashat, Pita Nasashat, Janani Nasashat, basically meaning that one should not become a guru, one should not become a parent unless one can actually deliver their dependence. So think about it. This is such a relevant thing for the devotees to contemplate on. If someone is thinking about entering into the household or ashram, you also have to be prepared to deliver your children from the cycle of birth and death. It's that heavy of a responsibility. It's on the equal level of being actually a guru. Because the children, as they enter this world, their first guru is the mother and father. It's that relationship that is so important. Psychologically speaking, modern-day psychologists, they understand this principle very well. And they will tell you that actually the full personality of the child is developed at a very early age. They'll say at the age of 3. The personality is set. In other words, from birth until the age of 3, whatever experiences that child is having in terms of the family, in terms of the culture around them, in terms of the nurturing they've had, or on a negative way, maybe they've been traumatized in those early years. That becomes very firmly implanted. So at the age of 3, which if you think about it, it's very, very early, the personality is completely set within that child. So understanding this, of course, there's a great emphasis in terms of motherhood. We call the ladies Mataji because it's a term of endearment and respect that the mother, especially in those first 3 years of life, is supposed to stay at home and actually be there to nurture that child and actually not just nurture them, but actually give them Krishna consciousness. Surround them with kirtan, surround them with activities of Krishna consciousness. Here Prabhupada, of course, is giving the example how he, in the early age, his early ages, between 4 and 5, he says, by the mercy of his father, he was given some Radha Krishna deities, forms. Prabhupada says forms here. I don't know if anyone really understands exactly what kind of forms, whether they were brass deities or maybe they were just wooden play dolls. Prabhupada doesn't really elaborate. But he was given the forms of Radha and Krishna. And because his mother and father were taking him to the nearby Radha Govinda Mandir, and it says here on a regular basis, what did he do? He imitated. This is what children do. They imitate whatever's around them. So in the Grihastha Ashram, if you're actually setting things up nicely so that there's an altar within your home and the children are being taught how to respectfully worship the deity, and even being given at an early age Radha and Krishna as dolls. Now you may think about, we shouldn't do that because if you give Radha and Krishna to a child, there's going to be offenses. But here Prabhupada is explaining, it was done in such a way that it wasn't done in a regulative way. In other words, it was done as play, is what Prabhupada says, as play. He would play offering artik. He would play offering flowers or ornaments or dress to his play dolls. So just even in a playful way, this is very important. And of course, we also know from the Lilamrita how Srila Prabhupada was very much influenced with his playful attitude towards Jagannath. And he would actually have his friends over and they'd have a Rath Yatra festival. But it's done as play, done as play. And then Prabhupada says later on, it became, by the grace of his spiritual master, a regulative principle of how to actually worship the deity according to proper regulations. So early in the childhood, this is okay. You can actually give your children play dolls of Krishna and teach them how to actually acquire that impression of Krishna early on. And if that's done, then it's every chance that that child would then, just as Jiva Goswami here says, and just as Srila Prabhupada in his own personal life has given the example, he was able to take those remembrances even after the time of education. He said he gave it up, when he was in school, but then his spiritual master at an early age, he implanted that seed again. This is how you actually worship the deity form correctly in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is an important psychology to understand, that parents take that responsibility seriously. And it's not like a brainwashing. The non-devotees will see it, oh, the parents are trying to brainwash the child. But no, it's not brainwashing at all. It's establishing those impressions. If devotees are living outside the temple, then as much as possible, they should bring the small children, even babies, small children, to the temple and establish that relationship with the temple atmosphere, the deities, the chanting of Hare Krishna. So you have the temple atmosphere, you have your home atmosphere, and if you do it right, then there's every chance that that child, as it grows up into adulthood, will also become a very, very good devotee of Krishna. So such a responsibility. That's point number one. And that understanding by the psychologists are there. They know, the psychologists know, that at the age of three, a child can identify 50 different logos. So they use it for advertising. If you think about it, the child in the supermarket's with his mother, and they see a logo that they recognize and say, buy that, because I recognize that logo. So these early impressions are there. So advertisers use it to their benefit. Devotees can use it to their benefit also in terms of training children in Krishna consciousness. Make those impressions very powerful. That's their responsibility. And to give that nurturing atmosphere so that the child is brought up in a loving family and the culture of Krishna consciousness. So the other aspect I wanted to touch on in this purport is relating to deity worship in general. Sometimes it's actually difficult for devotees to understand exactly why we are required to worship the deity. Coming from a Judeo-Christian culture in particular, these things are frowned upon as seen as idol worship. Other cultures also, Islamic culture, they see it as, no, you don't worship the form of God. I'm beginning to get a little bit involved in working with the Sikhs in a Sikh culture. And they also say, no, we don't worship deities. We worship the book, with the guru is considered to be within the book. And the book is considered like a deity. But the point is, deity worship in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is totally integral to our ability to advance in Krishna consciousness. There are 64 angams in the nectar of devotion, these different branches of devotional life, devotion service. Half of them have to do with deity worship. So this has to be understood, that Prabhupada has described many times in many places, Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. And do you understand these words, Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi? Vidhi means path. Okay? So there's basically two paths, or two, Prabhupada describes them as two tracks or two rails, just like he would give the example that the train is running on two rails. If you want to get to your destination, Krishna consciousness is not a monorail. It's not one rail. It's two rails. But the emphasis is always going to be on Bhagavat Vidhi, which is hearing and chanting and preaching. But the Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is basically from the Narada Pancharatras and having everything to do with the standards of deity worship, they form a kind of synergy where you put them together and it creates an effect that is greater than the individual pieces. In other words, at the time of initiation, devotees are taking a vow to chant Hare Krishna a certain number of rounds, 16 rounds minimum, follow the regular principles, but you're not taking a vow to worship the deity. But if you're actually understanding what Krishna consciousness is about, you apply all your practices of hearing and chanting and reading Prabhupada's books in relationship to the deity. This is something that Prabhupada explains over and over again, that it is so important, especially for Kanishta Adhikaris, Prabhupada says, or for householders. Now, the thing is, Yes, it's very important in the earliest stages of Krishna consciousness. It regulates a devotee's life. You have to get up early, you go to the Mangalarti, you worship Tulsi Devi, everything's surrounded by the atmosphere of the deity living in the temple. For so many devotees living in the ashram, the deities are the central focal point of attention and service and devotion. But this is meant to give one an impression so that even if you are to go away from the temple atmosphere, you can maintain that consciousness and you create that same awareness wherever you are in your life, wherever your situation is, whatever your ashram. If you're living separately from the temple, then you have to create that same atmosphere of deity worship in your home. Of course, these aspects of deity worship are all explained there in the Hari Bhakta Vilas by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. They compiled Hari Bhakta Vilas. It's not actually really clear who actually wrote it and who was like editing it, but it's more like an understanding that Sanatan Goswami and Gopal Bhatta wrote it together. And in the Hari Bhakta Vilas, it makes a distinction between the standards of deity worship in the temple for the community, where the community comes together and worships the deity, and the standards of deity worship one has at home. Speaking of Shishi Radha Gokulananda, here they are. Now, we should also appreciate these are deities that were specifically installed by and worshipped first by Srila Prabhupada. It's a great benediction we all have. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. So these are the two tracks, the Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavat Vidhi, and they work together, even though one may say that, well, chanting is more important. Everything rests on our chanting, our ability to chant Hare Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the Yuga Dharma. But in conjunction with the deity worship, that chanting then becomes, you become purified. The whole idea of deity worship is purification. Deity worship is performed by Brahmins. In the Bhagavad Gita, we understand samadhamas tapas socham. Socham means purity. Shantam arjavam ejvacha jnana vijnanam astikyam brahma karma subhavicham. These are the nine qualities of a Brahmin. Samha. Sama means peacefulness. Sama dhamma. Dhamma means self-control. Sama dhamma tapas, austerity. And sama dhamma tapas socham means purity. So a Brahmin is supposed to be actually worshiping the deity and having that sense of purity. External, meaning cleanliness, internal purity within the mind and consciousness. And this is what Prabhupada was actually trying to create within the ISKCON society, is a Brahminical culture. Not to neglect the other varnas that are there, but specifically in the ISKCON movement, it is a movement to train Brahmins, to actually establish these heads. So these nine qualities of a Brahmin are there, samadhamas tapasocham, shantir arjavam evacha. Shantir means what is tolerance. Shantir arjavam means honesty. Evacha. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam. Jnana means knowledge. Vijnana means practical application of that knowledge, or Prabhupada translates it as wisdom, so knowledge and wisdom. And astikyam means religiousness, meaning regularly, you're regulating your life in a religious way. You wake up early in the morning religiously. This is the Brahminical standard. So this is the point, is that the deity worship is there, meant to bring us to the platform of Brahminical qualifications. There are the nine qualities of a Brahmin, and then there's the six duties of a Brahmin. And a lot of times devotees forget about these six duties. Patan patan, yajan yajan, dana pratigraha. So patan patan means you're studying the Vedas and you're teaching the Vedas. Superminical, duty. Yajan yajan meaning you're worshiping the deities and you're teaching others the importance of worshiping the deities. That's what I'm trying to today. The importance of worshiping the deity. And dana pratigraha is you accept charity and you give in charity. So these are the duties of a Brahmin. So any devotee in the Hare Krishna movement, I mean, we know there's two levels of initiation, Harinam initiation and then Brahminical initiation. But if someone actually accepts that responsibility of Brahminical initiation, they should not neglect deity worship. A lot of times I see this happens. They think, well, I'm somehow or other beyond deity worship. Deity worship is for the neophytes, the Kanishtas, and I'm more elevated. But if you're actually striving for Brahmin initiation, that means you should begin in a serious way, as Prabhupada talks about in his own life, after coming in contact with Bhaktisiddhanta, real deity worship under proper regulations. So this is our understanding that there is a distinction between deity worship, which is according to all the proper rules, regulations given to us by the Narada Pancharatra and the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and what people misunderstand to be idol worship. Idol worship simply means it's concocted not according to any kind of a higher authority. So again, here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, you specifically have Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda established and installed by Srila Prabhupada directly. There's not that many Radha Krishna deities actually in ISKCON that have that stature to have been initially worshipped and the beginning of their worship being there in such an auspicious way. You see pictures and even videos of Prabhupada and the devotees when they were first established and first installed here, Bhaktivedanta Manor. Very powerful. Prabhupada was so happy and so much full of ecstasy when that happened. So, again, the idea is the balance of Pancharatrika Vidhi, Bhagavat Vidhi. Now, Bhagavat Vidhi also means book distribution. I know many of the devotees here are very sincere book distributors. They like to go out on a regular basis. In the older days in ISKCON, there used to be a lot of preaching about how the book distributors should always have a solid connection with the deities. Why? And they may not, especially Brahmins, they may not be part of the deity worship program, but the preaching was, at least go on the altar and do an artik. Because if you do that, and then you're out on book distribution, you feel the deity's empowerment directly. You feel, here they are, they're empowering you. You're out there on the street trying to approach the fallen souls, but your remembrance is there when you were doing the artik earlier in the morning. So again, this is that balance. This is the Pancharatrika Vidhi, Bhagavat Vidhi balance, synergy. If you do it right, and a lot of times it's a personal thing, but if you do it right, you feel this. This is the train that actual on the two tracks that would take you back to Godhead. You can, if you're neglecting deity worship, then you're neglecting an important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Of course, here in this temple, I see everyone is actually understanding this principle very nicely. The two most important principles of deity worship are punctuality and cleanliness. So I notice after Bhagavatam class, after Prasadam, everyone's busy cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. So nice. Because this cleaning of the temple room floor or cleaning whatever your cleaning service is, that's just as important as dressing the deity. Krishna accepts that service just as much. It's not that the person, the devotee who's dressing the deity should think that, oh, my service is more important. No, their service is important, but it's supported by a whole system of devotees. First of all, the deity is, it's a form that was actually carved in Jayapur by some artist. Some sculptor. Then the deity is installed, and then there's so many devotees involved in making outfits, making the garlands, making the flower vases, cooking for the deity. There's a whole supportive network. So everyone is part of that network. Even if you're cleaning the temple, you're also part of that network. And Krishna appreciates everyone equally. It's not that someone should think, oh, my service is more important. So if one is actually applying these principles correctly, you'll actually elevate yourself to a more higher understanding of deity worship, and you move into from the Vaidhi Bhakti stage to the Raganuga stage. The Raganuga simply means that you have that spontaneous attraction. No one's having to, like, wake you up in the morning. You want to get up in the morning, or you want to do service, you want to chant, you're spontaneously attracted to service to the deity. And even more importantly, if you're doing this deity worship correctly, your focal point of service is Krishna, Radha and Krishna. But even more importantly, you'll understand how not only to serve the deity, but to serve the devotees who are serving the deity. Now, this is an important point. This is actually shows your maturity in Krishna consciousness. If you understand that if you're serving the devotees that are serving the deities, As Lord Shiva says in his discussion with Parvati, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Tasmat Paratanam Devi, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That Parvati is asking, what is the highest form of worship? And of course, Lord Shiva said, well, Vishnu, Krishna, it's the highest form of worship. But then he goes on to explain that even higher than that is to worship that which is connected to Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that means basically to worship and to serve the devotees of Krishna. So this is what deity worship does. It brings the devotees together, and it actually creates the atmosphere of the devotees focus on the deities, but not only focus on the deities, they're focused on each other in their service to the deities. And that creates that kind of Vaikuntha atmosphere, where everyone is serving each other in their service to the deity. So this is so important. This is what develops this personalism. And even the impersonalists, they will sometimes worship the deity, but their worship of the deity is there. It's like a symbol, not actually that Krishna is there. It's like a symbol. And ultimately, they'll also chant. They'll worship the deity, but their idea is that by worshiping the deity, ultimately they go beyond the deity. They go into the impersonal realm. But for the devotee, that is not at all the goal. The goal is to develop pure love for Radha and Krishna, to realize, have full faith, that Radha and Krishna are fully present here in Bhaktivedanta manner in the form of Radha Gokulananda. It's not simply symbolic. They are there. They are there to receive our worship, to receive our love. Krishna is there playing his flute. Now, this is a little bit esoteric, kind of an understanding. What Krishna is playing his flute, okay? And they're giving their darshan. But what is the sound of Krishna's flute? Prabhupada explains very specifically, the sound of Krishna's flute as it enters into the material realm manifests as, I'm asking a question, do you know? Got it, Sutapa. Gayatri Mantra, Gayatri Mantra. And it's that Gayatri Mantra that the Brahmins connect to. This is part of Brahminical culture, three times chanting of Gayatri Mantra. That Gayatri Mantra actually is connecting you directly to understanding of what is that love exchange of Radha and Krishna, Radha Gokulananda. And even more specifically, Gayatri Mantra, just like yesterday I was asking Rupa Velasprabhu, how is it that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati got the honorific title of Saraswati? Because Gayatri Mantra, of course, in our tradition, there's seven lines of Gayatri, but Gayatri Mantra, meaning Brahma Gayatri, is chanted by the Brahmins morning, noon, and evening. And it's considered the morning Gayatri, invoking Gayatri Devi, personality. Noontime is Savitri, and the evening time is Saraswati. So Saraswati is actually part of this understanding of Brahmin culture and deity worship, that Krishna is playing his flute, is manifesting his Gayatri Mantra, and that personification of Gayatri Mantra is Saraswati, is a personality. It's a little esoteric. But we can also understand the Hare Krishna Mantra has a personification as Radha and Krishna. So Gayatri Mantra, Brahma Gayatri, the personification is Saraswati. And Saraswati has everything to do with knowledge, philosophy, intellectualization about and Shastra, study of Shastra, but it also has everything to do with aesthetics. Saraswati Devi is holding the Veena, representing music, but Saraswati actually empowers any devotee who has any artistic talent. And all those talents, if we're doing it in the service of Radha and Krishna and Radha Gokula Nanda, it becomes very beautiful. Meaning the aesthetics, Saraswati, that power of Saraswati is in the aesthetics through the beautiful forms of the deities, the beautiful decorations, the dresses, the flower vases, the beautiful artistic cooking that goes on, the kirtan. If you actually analyze in Krishna consciousness, it's all about aesthetics. It's all about art. And using that art to glorify the supreme, beautiful, artistic Radha and Krishna and their love exchange. So this is what deity worship can do potentially, is to bring about that sense of consciousness, bringing us from a neophyte Kanishta level into more advanced levels of Krishna consciousness, gradually. So I just touched on a few of those points. I do want to quote one thing that I gathered the other day from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's a very nice meditation. In Mayapur, they have the Yogapit, and you have the temple there established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And they have beautiful deities there of Lord Chaitanya and of Gandharvaka Giridhari. The name of the Radha Krishna deity is Gandharvaka Giridhari. Gandharvaka meaning the sweet singing Radharani, and Giridhari meaning the lifter of Govardhan. So those are the beautiful deities you can see there, and Yogapit established by Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there's this one little pastime I got off the internet. I want to just leave you with this thought, because Bhaktisiddhanta was in front of Gandharvaka Giridhari. He didn't have his glasses on. He couldn't see them clearly. And one of his disciples was making the comment, "Oh, I hope you can see the deities clearly." And Bhaktisiddhanta replied, and I'll read this. This is verbatim. "We should not think of the Supreme Lord as an object of our vision. Instead, we should meditate on the thought of how we can acquire some qualifications so that we could become worthy objects of his vision." No, this is describing darshan. Darshan means the vision of the Lord, that you work your way up from the lotus feet to actually the darshan is happening through the eyes. But darshan happens both ways. You're seeing Krishna, and Krishna is seeing you. And you hear Bhaktisiddhanta say, we have to actually think in terms of, does Krishna want to see us? Are we worthy of his darshan? Sometimes, I know in the modern age, there's something called digital darshan. You can go on Mayapur TV and have digital darshan. It's okay, it's better than nothing, but real darshan happens in the temple room. That's darshan. We're actually in front of the deity. You see the deity, and the deity sees you. So let me finish this. So we should become worthy objects of his vision. We should think about whether he wants to see us, and whether he will want to reveal himself to us. So I want to leave you with that little meditation. Krishna consciousness is all about the process of revelation. Does Krishna want to reveal himself to us? That's what we should feel in front of the deity. What am I doing in my service? What am I doing with developing my attitude of Krishna consciousness? Well, Krishna actually wants to see me, reveal himself to me. So I'll end there. I'm a little bit over time. If anyone has any questions, comments, thank you very much.